Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'll be speaking about being born of God. John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verses 18 to 21, I'm reading. This is the first epistle of John, chapter 5, starting in verse 18. "We know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not." Verse 19. "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness." Verse 20. "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Verse 21. "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Amen. If you're born again by the Spirit, you also need to be born of God. In the Amplified Bible, 1 John 5 and verse 18 says, "We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin, but the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil, and the wicked one does not lay hold or get a grip on him, or touch him. Those born of God may sin once or twice, but they are learning from their mistakes. Those born of God have a heart after God, not after ministry or other things. They are pleasing to God and protected by Christ, not compromising on righteousness either." John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. By hearing his voice and doing his perfect will, everyone can now escape the corruption that is in this world and not sin." Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 says, "Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds, and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant, and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. I say this to your shame." Those born of God have the presence of God with them all the time, because they're abiding in Christ. They have put on Christ and do not listen to what the world says is good, because the devil is the god of this world. They get their wisdom from seeking to obey God. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" Verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. What you are walking in now should be radically different and new compared to your old life, when you are using your own reasoning and understanding. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." In the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, with trust and holy favor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance." If you are born of God, you are not concerned with outward appearance, but following the example of someone else on the narrow way. The church in Corinth was focusing on the gifts of the Spirit, and Paul called them Sunday school teachers because they showed no signs of overcoming sin. He had to send Timothy to them. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15, I'm reading to verse 17. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 15. "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Verse 16. "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Verse 17. "For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "For this very cause I sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and trustworthy child in the Lord, who will recall to your minds my methods of proceeding and course of conduct and way of life in Christ, such as I teach everywhere in each of the churches." Spiritual learning comes from repentance and making no excuses for obeying the truth. Timothy was instructed to share Paul's experiences of how he was able to overcome everyday situations without ever getting in the flesh, stay humble, and use the wisdom God provided. Paul also said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. I'm reading the book of Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you?" Verse 2. "This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Verse 3. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Verse 4. "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain?" Verse 5. "He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Verse 6. "Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness." Verse 7. "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Do not deceive yourselves. We are supposed to live controlled by the Spirit. Do not think that by putting yourself under the law, you can do what you want when you want. By playing lip service to God, you will become a hypocrite, and bad fruit will start manifesting. Peter said to the Jews in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," verse 2, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Many of God's children never grow up spiritually because they will not put away five things according to Peter. Number one, malice, anger, evil, or ill will towards others, called of God or God himself. Number two, guile. This is deceit, deception, to avoid correction and conviction. Number 3, hypocrisies, playing lip service to God, just calling him Lord, and praying and speaking in a strange sounding voice to appear spiritual. Number 4, envy, carnally minded, comparing yourself to others. Number 5, evil speaking, gossip, slander, backbiting and swearing. Those who are born of God use the milk of God's word to grow spiritually. They do not use their own mind trying to understand the Bible. They like the pressures of serving others and check their foundations are still solid. To stay on the narrow way, you need a pure motive and a right attitude. Through conviction and repentance, using the gift of eternal life, you can stay on the narrow way and progressively get to know him. We read in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 16. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The grace has increased, but many just use the grace as an occasion of the flesh, and do not use the truth to repent and get more grace. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, and verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. God has allowed knowledge to increase in these last days. In the church, those unwilling to deal with their own carnal nature have substituted traditions and doctrines for truth and conviction. The knowledge God allowed was so man could do some good, but it's impossible for those who are wise in their own eyes to depart from evil. They are attracted to the wisdom of the world instead, which is full of corruption. This is why Jesus brought grace and truth. James said in James chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. This is James chapter 3, I'm reading verse 13. Who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom that descends not from above is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Jesus gave a parable about the kingdom of heaven on the earth that includes the church today. Jesus was speaking in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm reading verses 24 to 30. This is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. I'm starting in verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Verse 27. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, did thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Verse 28. And he said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servants said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? Verse 29. But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Verse 30. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The disciples asked about the parable, and Jesus explained the meaning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm reading verses 37 to 42. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm reading verse 37. And he answered and said to them, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Verse 38. And the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Verse 40. as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. Verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them, which do iniquity. Verse 42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In the Amplified Bible in Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 and 42, we read, the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all cases of offense, persons by whom others are drawn into error or sin, and all who do iniquity, and all that act wickedly, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. Pastors and leaders who have excused sin in others and themselves will end up in the lake of fire if they do not confess and produce the fruit of repentance. John the Baptist was speaking to the religious leaders in Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 9. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree that therefore which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Only those who refuse to lean to their own understanding produce the right fruit. Jesus is the Son of Man because he is a properly operating human being, the image of the Father, denying self daily, not doing his own will. Jesus is the door to the kingdom. So if you are not willing to live on the narrow way and follow his example, you'll be left outside. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5, I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm starting in verse 1. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. And he that puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The church of today is full of thieves and robbers, living in self-righteousness, turning Christianity into another religion. They talk about temporal blessings rather than eternal glory based on following Christ. If you're not following Christ, you're already listening to a wrong voice. The tables need to be turned in those churches that teach that you only need to be born again. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 to 9, this is 1 John chapter 3, I'm starting in verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sins not. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Those on the broad way will not be saved because their own actions prove they're following the devil, serving the flesh, and still making excuses for sin. The God of this world has created a lot of confusion in those seeking temporal blessing by making self-righteous, carnal Christians very comfortable in this world. The works of the devil are based on lies, and this is why you must keep seeking righteousness. God makes a way for all those who are born of God on the narrow way. They do not compromise or sin, and he makes a way for them to produce the right fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Those who are awake spiritually are seeking righteousness, not blessings or breakthrough. Those born of God are on the narrow way, not using their own mind. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." In the Amplified Bible, Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied." Are you comfortable not seeking righteousness? The church is full of doctrines developed by demons through people using their minds trying to understand the things of God. Churches prefer to deceive themselves that they can be lord of their own lives and still be saved. You should only be satisfied today because something has changed in your life through repentance. If you are looking for an excuse to be lazy and claim your righteousness, the devil will give you one. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 to 5. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Verse 3. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Verse 4. "Traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." Verse 5. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." The tares in the parable of Jesus in Matthew 13 are born again, but on the broad way. They have a form of righteousness, but do not trust God, denying the power that comes from a godly life in Christ Jesus. They prefer to deny his right to be Lord of their lives through a fear of suffering. They refuse to trust in his provision because they're already comfortable. The devil has made them weak in this world, serving the flesh. If persecution starts, they are the first to compromise, even those trusting in the finished work of Christ and not seeking righteousness daily will face the second death because they are lazy and have not learned obedience. Paul is speaking about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verses 8 and 9. This is Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 8. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Verse 9. "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." The word "obey" in Strong's is number 5219. It comes from some other words which means to hear under, as a subordinate, that is to listen attentively, by implication to heed or conform to a command or authority, hearken, to be obedient or to obey. You may recognize your own disobedience and need for repentance, but you will never get to the root of sin without getting in his presence. Your life would only change for the better if you are abiding in Christ. Paul did his repentance after he established Jesus as Lord, and his lifestyle became the standard for every man's conscience. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verses 1 to 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not," verse 2, "but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. But if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Maturity doesn't take a long time if you make Jesus Lord and do not go back to your own vomit. We read in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Paul did not have a problem with the literal, functional lordship of Jesus, as this is what he was preaching. The only thing that's hindering you from making Jesus Lord is your reluctance to deal with your carnal nature. The gospel is freely available, and it's not hidden. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, this is Matthew chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Right now you may not see much difference between the wheat and the tares in the church, but the difference is the lordship issue. At the time of harvest and in the last great judgment, the difference will become clear. We read in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 27. I'm reading. This is Luke 13. I'm starting in verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there a few that be saved? And he said unto them, verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. Verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up, and is shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer, and say unto you, I know you not from whence you are. Verse 26, then shall you begin to say, oh, we have eaten and drunken in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Verse 27, and he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. You cannot have iniquity unless you first have truth. Truth comes through the Holy Spirit inside those who are born again, and iniquity is departing from the truth. All those who are born again, making excuse for sin, will be left behind. Through the Spirit, you will be convicted. If you confess your sin, the Holy Spirit will help you to get to the root of sin. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 31 and 32 says, for if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings, and recognize our own condition, we should not be judged, and penalty decreed by the divine judgment. But when we shall fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined and chastened, so that we may not finally be condemned to eternal punishment along with the world. Churches are losing their saltiness and need to be corrected before it's too late. The world should be coming to you for answers on how to be saved and live on the narrow way. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? It's more important now than ever to learn about the narrow way, submission to the Spirit, and correction and repentance. Churches have members who are baptized in lemon juice, ignorant of true righteousness, making excuses for sin. David said in the Psalms, chapter 16 and verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures for evermore. Some Christians believe that serving God is what makes you sad, but this is a lie. The devil makes Christians comfortable serving the lusts of the flesh, that they cannot live without sinning. Then, when God says no to activities that appear harmless, carnal Christians judge him as the problem. In the kingdom, you will have fullness of joy because you are in right standing with God. It's not based on anything else in this world. As soon as you get in the flesh, you lose the joy he provides. And this is a warning that you have compromised your righteousness by coming out of Christ. When you confess your sin by grace through faith, you can come back in his presence. However, sin will get you out again and again if you do not repent of the lies you believe in your heart about God and his word. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is Colossians chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision, made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. If you believe with your whole heart that you are complete in him, then why do you get in the flesh? Christ's circumcision includes putting away activities that are not part of God's plan for your life. You need to seek the minimum conditions for your salvation and everything you need to give up in order to complete your calling. He will remove activities and any career that you have chosen for yourself that is not part of his plan. Christ's circumcision is putting away all things you trust in, activities and hobbies that feed your flesh and take up precious time. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25, I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 23. And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Jesus said, Lose your life here and now or perish. Only God knows what is best for you. Time is running out and Jesus is coming soon. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verses 5 and 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm starting in verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Verse 6. But I trust you shall know that we are not reprobates. The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It means unapproved, that is rejected, by implication, worthless, literally or morally. A castaway, rejected. Paul was not a reprobate, even though he was going through many hardships. If you are still clinging to something in this world, you are hindering the process of sanctification. And you will be a castaway. Your faith should be rooted in a deep reverence and thankfulness to God for taking over complete control after you've been so selfish, letting your emotions, feelings, and the lust of the flesh rule your life. Even today, carnal Christians see us evil or fanatical to serve God. He is doing us a favor by rescuing us from our own lordship. Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. This is Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By obedience to the Spirit, you can avoid anything that makes your flesh comfortable. Under the new covenant, you have access to the power of the Holy Spirit to assist the new nature and mortify the flesh. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'm reading Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Those who do not kill the flesh will never be happy on the narrow way. If they obey the Spirit, the flesh complains. If they obey the flesh, the Spirit will grieve. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 5, starting verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Do not deceive yourself, thinking that by keeping the law you can keep God happy and still do what you want. If you do not learn to obey the Spirit before it's too late, you will perish. God will take care of all those living by faith on the narrow way. He provides. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Paul said that you should not eat without having faith, that what he has set before you is good, and freely eat whatever does not cause your brother to stumble. You are always supposed to give thanks beforehand. Nothing can harm you on the narrow way. He will continue to provide for you. Anything that's not coming from simple faith in what God tells you to do is sin. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition, in chapter 1, on pages 1 and 2, Joseph Hitchcock writes, There have been thousands of books written about God by people who have known him to some measure. You can study those books by those who were recognized as great men and women of God. You may glean out what they learned about God during the time they were in ministry. Many of those faithful servants walk with God for 50 or 60 years, and you can gain some insight into what God is like by studying their lives. This has been the approach many believers have taken in trying to learn more about God. Many have also studied the writings of Paul, Peter, or others whose revelations are included in God's Word. In that way, more knowledge about God and how he operates can be gained. However, this has created a problem in theology. The church has focused on studying about God rather than the study of God. We've labeled the study about God as theology, and this is taught in seminaries and Bible colleges all over the world. Believers study the Bible as well as other books written by men and women of God to see what they have to say about him. But we've missed the most important thing, which is the personal, individual study of God ourselves. Pure theology is not the study about God, it's the study of God. And God intends for us to get to know him through a personal relationship with Him. The best way to study God Himself is to make Him Lord. Stop being a spectator and get in the game. You cannot get to know God by just reading the diary of a godly missionary. Through the flesh, you will just copy something that has the outward appearance of righteousness, that is easy for the flesh to duplicate. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 to 12, I'm reading. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm starting in verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Stop serving money. Fight the good fight by refusing to lean to your own understanding. You can trust and obey God now using the gift of eternal life. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You cannot get to know God without making Jesus functional Lord of your life. By not serving the lusts of your own flesh and letting the Spirit lead, you will get to see how God does everything. You will have encounters with God as you deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Each of these encounters will help you see that His ways are higher and better as you grow spiritually, doing the will of God. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, I'm reading verses 8 and 9. This is Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. At the last great judgment, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But that will be too late for those who want to be part of the kingdom of Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more, in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There is still a little time left now to establish Jesus as Lord. Do not rely on the sinner's prayer that you made many years ago. A lazy man's gospel that says you only need to be born again is popular among comfortable churches that do not want to change. If you are comfortable, the devil is using your example to hinder others from entering the kingdom and keep them drinking the devil's poison instead. Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 14, I'm reading John's gospel, chapter 4, starting in verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Those who drink from the right source become a source of blessing for the whole body of Christ. God can use preachers who were sleeping, woken up after reaping the consequences of sin, if they repent and submit to God. Those who do get on the narrow way often find themselves at odds with carnal Christians. You may need to leave the church to grow spiritually, but you must establish Jesus as Lord first. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. This is Proverbs chapter 14. I'm reading verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of the mirth is heaviness. As part of your repentance, admit that you deceived yourself and got on the narrow way that seems right. Never blame the church or the denomination you are in for the lack of truth in your life. Everyone who is born again has the Holy Spirit. You chose to believe lies earlier because it was easier on your flesh. You should have repented of dead works, not just bad works. Also, you did not deny yourself daily and take up your cross, which Jesus commanded. You are the problem and no one else. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. This is Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch used the grace and mercy to learn from his mistakes and get to know God, and find out what was pleasing to him and what was not. Those who come to God must believe he is God and will reward you in the same way for diligently seeking him. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Your flesh, if it's not crucified and in the grave, it stinks in the nostrils of God. Do not deceive yourself. You will not change his mind. You can, however, get in his kingdom by submitting to the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those living in the kingdom are in right standing with God, with a peace and joy that comes from a life that is immersed and controlled by the Spirit with the anointing of God on their lives. Jesus said in Matthew 13 and verse 43, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You can only consider and perceive and understand spiritually by hearing, not by thinking. Even now, those who are on the narrow way following Christ are shining for him. They are producing the right fruit because the kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit. Every generation needs to look at their own fruit and not deceive themselves. In this last generation, the love of money is still an issue. Paul said to the church in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. This is Hebrews chapter 13, I'm reading verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6. So then, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In the Amplified Bible, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. relax my hold on you? Assuredly not. The promises of God's provision is there for all those on the narrow way following Christ, like those early disciples. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. I'm starting in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Those early disciples were told to keep his commands for a reason, and teach others also to keep his commands. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 21, I'm reading verse 26. This is John 14, starting in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Verse 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Verse 23. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24. And he that loves me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Verse 25. And these things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit. Those working in the kingdom will be hearing and seeking the commands of Jesus. This will continue in the kingdom of Christ, even when his throne is established in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. You have an opportunity to experience the kingdom of God for yourself now. You don't have to wait. The Holy Spirit comes to remind you of what Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit inside you is the evidence of God's grace. However, the keeping of Jesus' commands is the evidence that he is in you by the Spirit also dwelling in you. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, this is 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 24. And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You will never abide in Christ without keeping his commands. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In the kingdom of God, everything is done out of love. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 to 8, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. Verse 6. We are of God, and he that knows God hears us, and he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. And he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Your conversation of things in this world will be limited. Those born of God talk about Jesus and life on the narrow way. To love with God's ability is only possible if you're born of God. Pure love is so foreign to this world, where everyone is looking after his or her own interests. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, this is Philippians chapter 2, I'm starting in verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You can easily be part of the kingdom by seeking the commands of Jesus once you receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus' commands are specific commands he has chosen for you, and they are perfect for you by grace through faith. Through seeking God for commands, you will be a channel of his pure love and be drawn into a close relationship with God and get to know Jesus and the Father very quickly. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 19, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Jesus is alive, and by keeping his commands, you can escape the corruption and sow into him and experience everlasting life now on this earth. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God does not want you to deceive yourself. He will make sure you reap what you sow. God has made it possible for us to reap a good harvest, even though the devil is the god of this world. God makes sure if we sow love, we will get love back. If we do things out of fear, then we will be filled with a spirit of fear. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. For more information on how to develop the love of God, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. There is a worldwide pandemic of sin and depression that can be traced back to the lack of the love of God. TV stations would struggle today without this pandemic of sin because they would have nothing bad to report otherwise. The world does not believe that the gospel can solve all the world's problems. They prefer to solve issues themselves so that they can still do what they want when they want. In the last days, men's hearts will fail them from the fear coming on the earth. Even those in the church listen to conspiracy theories. The world can see the hypocrites in the church today who are not denying self and taking up their cross on the narrow way and doing things without asking God. You can only experience the love of God consistently on the narrow way. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. There is a lack of the love of God in the church today. The modern church, however, does not want to hear about following Christ, but not wanting to hear the truth is the reason why they have a lack of God's love. In the book, The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition, at the end of chapter 11 on how to escape, on page 99, Joseph Edgecott writes, "Walking in the Spirit neutralizes Satan's traps and delivers you from the prisons of your flesh. Only those consistently walking in the Spirit will be overcomers. You grow spiritually by hearing and obeying the Holy Spirit with different levels of pressure. The flesh will always be uncomfortable and nervous on the narrow way, especially at the beginning. If you do not like listening to the flesh complaining, then kill the flesh. If you do not kill it, the devil will make you comfortable in this world and you will become his prisoner." James said in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. This is James chapter 4, starting in verse 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Verse 8. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Verse 9. "Be afflicted, and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness." Verse 10. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." For more information on how to escape the prison you are in, please read the book, The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition, by Joseph Edgecott. God's laws were to be obeyed and not interpreted with the carnal mind. The law itself is spiritual and designed to convict all those who are carnal. The law was given to the Jews so that they could recognize their sin and save themselves first. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and starting in verse 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 19. "For it was God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." The Jews were given the ministry of reconciliation first. They had to learn to trust God's grace and mercy and come to repentance themselves. They were supposed to repent through the conviction based on the law and reach out to others with a testimony of reconciliation, but they started promoting the law instead. Some churches do the same. They use the written word, reaching out to others, without giving a personal testimony of repentance. Paul had the ministry of reconciliation because he was good at repentance. You have to change yourself before you can help anyone else overcome sin and the devil. The keeping of the law or other traditions is not the way to be justified in the sight of God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 to 17, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 15. "Whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us. For after that he said before," verse 16, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Verse 17. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Let the Holy Spirit drop his thoughts from the written word into your mind by grace through faith for you to repent. If your mind is not renewed, then it still has the programs of the devil, and you cannot help anyone. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Verse 14, "But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of yous have their sense exercised to discern both good and evil. You will serve the devil by listening to your own feelings, man-made, self-righteous traditions and rules. The church is full of babies today who want to hear comforting scriptures from the written word taken out of context. Some carnal Christians even have their favorite promises written out on small bits of paper, kept in a wooden box, ready for a time of need. You cannot maintain righteousness using a promise box as a means of daily guidance. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." Worldly sorrow and comforting words is not a remedy for sin. Those who are afraid of conviction and correction spiritually will get left behind. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. This is Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 19. "As many as I believe, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Do not shipwreck your faith. All the good stuff belongs to those who overcome. Having intimacy is the final goal, but not without overcoming sin and the devil. The church of Laodicea had to respond to the conviction knocking on the door of their hearts. They had to be completely open about the hypocrisy, lies, resisting conviction, talking falsely about those trying to help them with strong messages, and deceiving others. Afterward, Jesus could then be open with them. Jesus continued in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 21 and 22. This is Revelation chapter 3, I'm reading verse 21. "To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne." Verse 22. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Eternal salvation is based on obedience to the Spirit, not based on being born again. Are you choosing the soft option because you know someone who might be lost otherwise? Or is it because your children will not make heaven under the true gospel? You cannot change the rules. No one can be saved without obedience to the Spirit. This is why we have grace and truth. There is no excuse. If you want to help someone else, you have to save yourself first, and others will not believe otherwise. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm starting in verse 3. "According as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." Verse 4. "Whereby we are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." God has given us precious promises so that we can overcome sin and the devil by faith on the narrow way. In these last days, many will try to justify their bad fruit with ministry activities, claiming that Jesus is their Lord, but they will be left behind. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Verse 23. "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." From the time someone is born again, you can grow spiritually. This foundation includes departing from iniquity. The work of the Holy Spirit is to expose lies disguised as truth. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The word iniquity in Strong's is number 93. It comes from another word which means injustice, property, the quality, by implication, the act, moral wrongfulness or character, life or act, iniquity, unjust, unrighteousness or wrong. Noah Webster in 1828 defined iniquity as 1. Injustice, unrighteousness, a deviation from rectitude, as the iniquity of war, the iniquity of the slave trade. Number 2, want of rectitude in principle as a malicious prosecution originating in the iniquity of the author. And 3, a particular deviation from rectitude, a sin or a crime, wickedness or any act of injustice. Your life should be changing since you received the Holy Spirit. Either you are changing or you are resisting God. Good activities cannot replace the need to hear the Lord and obey. The flesh and the spirit are opposed to each other. Those walking in the spirit will stop sinning. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, "Then I say, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." The Holy Spirit will resist those who are listening to the flesh. In the flesh, you are under law and will come under condemnation. The devil can then feed you with lies and get you to believe that condemnation is from God. He wants to make you afraid of conviction and repentance that leads to life. The devil makes you so comfortable in the flesh, you accept a peace based on the absence of turmoil in this world. The devil will be able to deceive you because you still want to do what you want. Those walking in the Spirit with a heart after God do not come under condemnation, even when they are convicted. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 1, and reading to verse 6. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Verse 3. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh." Verse 4. "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." There are many signs that you have a passion for God. Either you are going forward with God, or you're going backwards serving the devil. There is no third option. We read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verses 23 to 26. This is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 23. "But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." Verse 24. "But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Verse 25. "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them." Verse 26. but they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. In the Old Testament, God sent the prophets to the Jews, and they resisted. Then God sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, and they killed him. Now in the church, he has given us the Holy Spirit so that we could come to truth. It's not going to get any easier to come to truth and know if something is pleasing to God or not. The grieving of the Spirit of God is there to help you recognize your sin. The Holy Spirit is faithful to let you know you have sinned and remains in you until the day of judgment, which is either when you die or meet Jesus. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. This is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 30. And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. If you are grieving the Holy Spirit, you are going backwards. Paul told the church to not grieve the Holy Spirit, because if you keep doing this, your name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus and the prophets warned the Jews about the kingdom of God coming on the day of Pentecost. Being sealed is not a guarantee that you will rule and reign. How will you rule if you disobey the Holy Spirit in your hearts now? Those who are born of God are not living for themselves. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Paul did not claim anything based on Abraham being his father, like the Jews who perished in AD 70 with the temple. Paul's changed life was proof he was a child of the living God. Paul was born of God and growing spiritually. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Jesus came to save us. He was only representing the Father. He was qualified to judge because he's the Son of Man and the Son of God, correctly listening and doing nothing of himself. And Jesus said in John 5, verses 26 to 30, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27, and have given him authority to execute judgment, also because he's the Son of Man. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Verse 29, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. if you're truly in Christ, you have the same operating system that Jesus had when he was on this earth. Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 10, if we then, we were enemies, and we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Jesus is alive. Get on that narrow way. Keep the commandments of Jesus. His commands are not just a short list of 10 things to avoid, like in the Old Testament. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Jesus is coming soon, but that does not mean the kingdom is coming when he comes. Jesus is already ruling now by the Spirit. The kingdom has been here now on this earth since the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost about 2,000 years ago. You should be getting daily commands and instructions by the Spirit if you're going to be saved. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 17 to 19. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that ye suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because things are not perfect now, by God's standard, there is some suffering. The whole of creation is also waiting for the right order to come about when those in charge are humble and not serving money. In the church, everyone should be seeking God during this time. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Maybe you need a vision of the kingdom of Christ. Where there is no sin, there will be no suffering. No one will be controlling anyone else, because everyone will be serving out of love like a little child. You may find it hard to fit in if you're still using your mind all the time. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19, I'm reading to verse 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20. For where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31. That according as is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. God does not choose the most highly educated. Jesus chose those with a heart after God. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 18. And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Verse 21. And going on from then, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Verse 22. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Jesus chose fishermen and tax collectors, and they followed him instantly. They did not know that Jesus was the Son of God at the time, and the Jewish leaders did not accept the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was associated with John the Baptist, preaching repentance all the time. If you are meek, you still have a chance to be part of Christ's kingdom. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Noah Webster in 1828 defined meek as mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. Number two, appropriately humble in an evangelical sense, submissive to the divine will, not proud, self-sufficient or refractory, not peevish, and apt to complain of divine dispensations. The least you can do is to rely on the forgiveness of sin with God's grace and come to repentance. Confess your sins. Make no excuses for sin if you're born again. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. If he corrects you, repent and weep over your sins. You will be comforted because you are learning through your mistakes, using the grace of God. By grace, you will grow spiritually, while those trying to understand the written word go backwards using their own minds. The parable of Jesus of the wheat and the tares describes two groups in the church today. The tares are those on the Broadway who call him Lord, Lord, but do not trust God, denying his right to be functional Lord of their own lives. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 11 to 14, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Verse 13. And being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Paul was not trying to make the Corinthians feel guilty because of his struggles, but he was warning them to get on the narrow way. Comfortable Christians have been allowed to lead the church. Those who teach you only need to be born again are telling those who want to serve God and Mammon what they want to hear. Those who have the Holy Spirit know this doctrine is a lie, as otherwise what Paul went through was unnecessary. You received the Holy Spirit so that you could learn to hear and do the perfect will of God for your own life and learn how he provides for you on the narrow way. Do not deceive yourself. You can overcome sin and the devil by submitting to God in the same way Jesus overcame the cross. Those who follow Christ's example believe God provides. Those who do not believe are following the god of this world instead. Paul was speaking about Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 to 8. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm starting in verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Verse 6. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. Verse 7. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me, also of one born out of due time. God sent Paul just before the corruption started in the church. He was directed to write most of the New Testament letters. If he had not ended up in prison, he might never have written those letters when he did. God's timing is perfect. His letters now form part of the doctrines and teachings of Christ for this last generation. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." There is a pandemic in the church today where almost everyone is infected with a belief that you can keep God happy and still do what you want. Those who have been circumcised by Christ have put his kingdom first and gone through an after-inquiry meeting, seeking what must be given up to follow Christ. Those who accepted a cheap version of Christianity will face the judgment if they continue to grieve the Spirit, leading them to the truth. Those who resist conviction and correction should not be in a position of leadership. There is no reason why every believer who is consistently walking with God should not be translated and be with Jesus in heaven right now. Paul was confident that he would be with Jesus immediately if his life stopped on earth. However, we need to be clothed with honor and glory that comes from doing the will of God on this earth. You're going to have an important function in heaven, and you have to be dressed properly by putting on Christ now and denying yourself daily. The church of Laodicea was lukewarm and double-minded, trying to serve God and Mammon. They had accumulated riches instead of investing in the kingdom of God, and were about to be spewed out of Christ. Jesus warned them to repent and be ready for his appearing and overcome the lust of the eyes, sin, and the devil. Jesus is the door to the kingdom of God, and you need to enter soon or perish. If you still have a confidence in the flesh, you're not on the narrow way. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, and verse 3, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You have to believe that you can become like Christ. If you think this is going to take a lifetime, then it will. Your own faith will work against you. Do it the easy way. Let him do the work. You just concentrate on learning to hear his voice and obey what he says. Then he will do the rest because he is the master builder. It may not be finished in a week, but it will not be a long time before you can start enjoying some of the benefits of living a consistently spirit-led life on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There is a noise of war all around today, and no peace unless you have entered the kingdom of God. You can have God's peace and joy. The devil does not want you to come to maturity and learn how to fight. So he will make you comfortable and give you a false peace instead. The kingdom is here now since the day of Pentecost. Enter now or be left behind. Comfortable Christians attend meetings and claim they are righteous in Christ, but their fruit show they are serving the devil already. You cannot do it alone. It's not you and your Bible. There are people on the narrow way that have been through things and learned how to cope with emotional and mental pressure and not sinned. Jesus is one of them, but he sent Paul and he recommended the fivefold ministry. There are people who are serious about obedience and do not love their lives even unto death. They are not easily taken captive by the devil. You cannot say to the devil, stop fighting while I read my Bible and pray. The devil is going to shoot even harder. He will use ways that seem right and just fill up your day with unnecessary activities. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Be reconciled to God, learn obedience, and get on the narrow way. The written word alone will not change you. It has to be the Spirit directing you what he wants you to learn next. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Edgecombe. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, so you don't have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today, you've heard a message about how you can be born of God. God has made it possible, not only for you to hear his voice, but he has made it possible that you can sow into God, that you can be a channel of God and you can connect to God. You no longer have to sow to the carnal nature again. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to sin against God. You can be born of God, doing the things of God, and God doing things through you. This is such a privilege, and we can do this now. We don't have to wait for Jesus to come and rule and reign on this earth. You have only a short time left. And in the last few days that you're alive, the last few months and years that you're here on this planet, you have a time to not only prove your obedience to God, show him that you love him, but you will be clothed with the most beautiful clothes, Christ himself, and you will have the same outfit, the same way of living, the same love and attributes of Christ will be manifesting in you as you hear and obey. Father, I'm praying for those who are listening to this message, that by the Spirit, as you have been challenging them in the Scriptures, in your Word, in the things you've been saying to them, as they hear these things, that they will repent, they will acknowledge that they have fallen away, off the narrow way, that they must now get back on that road, denying themselves and taking up their cross. Father, I'm praying for them to make a step in the right direction today and keep going. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video. It'll either be written out or on a link to a website. Afterwards, you'll see our contact details. Please get in touch if this message has changed your life today. God bless you.